From all walks of life, white women are hearing the call, considering our future, and braving a new world. Join me, Rachel Pendergraft, each week as I bring you the White Women's Perspective.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the White Women's Perspective. I'm your host, Rachel Pendergraft. Well, I don't know how many people watch The Real Housewives of New York City or any of the Real Housewives shows. I've watched, a few episodes of them in the past, but I find them really remarkably, I guess you could say, kind of childish, kind of mundane, just showing a bunch of rich women and their apparent unhappy lives as they sit and fight with one another. I think they're kind of demeaning to women, but nevertheless, Bethany Frankel is one of the stars of The Real Housewives of New York City. Now, she is Jewish, and a lot of people have said that she's kind of a bitchy lady on the program. Like I said, I haven't really watched that much of it. But she is in some controversy now, and some people are calling her racist because of a tweet that she made. She was at a Kmart, and she said via Twitter, she said, "Wow, at Kmart has two registers open with five other employees standing around and two speak no English whatsoever. Shoes are zapatos, right?" And then she tweeted following up to that, she said, "Not even attempting kids snow boots in Spanish." Well, anyways, apparently there's some sort of backlash from her followers. They've called her a racist and a bitch, but she said she's not going to apologize to anyone. She defended herself to Us Weekly on the 26th. She said, "I would never be one of those celebrities that just wants to please everybody and wants to say exactly what everybody wants to hear and tiptoes around. If you want to hear my opinion, go on Instagram or Twitter and it's there. You don't have to agree with me." Well, like I said, some people are calling her a racist. She is Jewish, so I don't really see how anyone could say she's racist. She's definitely not for white people or Christianity or anything like that. But nevertheless, she is someone who is saying something that a lot of people, I would say a majority of white middle-class people out there would agree with. They are sick and tired of people in this country not speaking English, people coming across the border, coming across not even trying to learn English, and she just kind of tweeted something, and so people decide that they want to bash her for that. Because the Jews, for the most part, have been on the ground floor of miscegenizing the European nations and offshoots of European nations like Canada and U.S. and Australia doesn't mean that they don't necessarily like what is happening. They've kind of cut their own throat. In Israel, recently, over the last few months, there has been a lot of anger over the Israeli policy to send people of non-Jewish heritage out of the country and for the discrimination that they have against non-Jewish people. Now, they don't mind the discrimination against other people. They don't mind discrimination against white people. Barbara Spector is the head of a Jewish think tank in Sweden. She's formerly from New York City, and she has gone on the record stating that Jews are at the forefront of the multiculturalism in Europe and bringing in more immigrants and refugees, and that the white people and Europeans just better get used to it. She did caution, however, that because of the tremendous role that Jews play in bringing immigrants and promoting this multiculturalism and so forth, that white people are going to grow resentful and figure out that the Jews are at the forefront of it, and that people need to be wary of that. But she thinks that, Barbara Spector thinks that what the Jews are doing in miscegenizing the nations is a good thing. And of course, white genocide is something that we should all just turn our heads and ignore. Okay, the Olympic Committee has adopted a new policy. This is going to make some of you laugh and some of you be squeamish, but they have a new policy that's being proposed and passed at the committee's consensus meeting on sex reassignment and hyperandrogenism. And what it is they have, 2 years ago, they actually said that they would allow transgender athletes into the Olympics. So men who have gone through a sex reassignment surgery can participate on the women's Olympic teams if it has been at least 2 years since their surgery. Well, now they are saying that you don't need to have sex reassignment surgery if a man identifies himself as a woman and has been on hormone estrogen type therapy for at least 1 year, then he can go in and he can, well, he says, I'm a girl and I guess wear some pigtails and maybe a push-up bra or something, and then he can participate on the women's teams. And likewise, women who have or who claim to be transgender or claim to be men, they can compete on the men's team. I don't see that this would really be an issue that much on the men's team because, for the most part, the women, even if they have some hormone replacement therapy and have a excess of testosterone in their system, they still naturally are not as strong as men. They're not going to be as fast as men, etc. I don't see that they would have any unfair advantage over natural-born men. However, I see that men parading around as women on women's Olympic teams could put women at a very strong disadvantage during the Olympic contest. And so, again, just one more example of the lunacy of our society, the lunacy of political correctness, and this cultural Marxism that is running amok throughout Western Christian civilization. Well, from the Daily Kin, we have a story about Sweden and the mass rapes that have been occurring there. For those who do not know, or perhaps you've been in a cave somewhere and just haven't been paying attention, Sweden, as well as many other European countries, Germany has been in the news a lot recently because of the massive number of sexual assaults that occurred on New Year's Eve in Cologne, Germany. At first it was estimated to be 200. Now they are saying that there's been a reported 472 sexual assaults on women in Cologne, Germany by Muslim immigrants into the nation. Well, in Sweden, because there's been such a backlash against this exploitation of European women, well, the feminists have decided to come out and let people know that they are in full support of the immigrants, the refugees, these non-whites coming into their nations. One picture that I saw on the web just today was a young feminist holding a sign that said, deport racists, not rapists. And so the feminists in Sweden, they would rather have rapists in their country than racists. They would rather have men who are going to exploit women. They would rather have these non-whites come into their country exploit and rape and sexually assault women of all ages, they prefer that over racially conscious men and women. Absolutely scandalous. It's absurd that the feminist in Europe and America would stand on the side of rapists rather than those who have a love of heritage and a concern for the future of their people. And Julia Delpy, she is an actress, and she's in hot water with black women over a comment that she made. She told Rap Magazine 2 years ago, she said, "I said something about the Academy being very white male, which is the reality, and I was slashed to pieces by the media. It's funny, women can't talk. I sometimes wish I were African American because people don't bash them afterward. And now black women are all upset and they're on the rampage because they say that it's absurd to think that black women are never counter, to think that black women somehow have more of a right or given more of a right to speak than white women. But we all know that white women, if they say anything racial, if they say anything in support of their race and their faith and their heritage, especially if they're a public persona, if they're a celebrity or something, well, it could be the end of their career. Black women, such as Jada Pinkett, the wife of Will Smith, she's the one that started this whole boycott the Oscars thing because there wasn't enough black people, or there wasn't any black contenders this year, claiming it's racist. Well, nobody's told Jada Pinkett to shut up. She can go on and on and on about how unfair and how racist the Oscars are, even though a couple of years ago, 12 Years I Was a Slave, a movie that unabashedly was anti-white and full of mistruths, it won. And Oprah Winfrey, she's kind of the queen of black women, and she's also a favorite of feminists. She can talk on and on and on about how black women are mistreated and black women are this and they don't have a fair shake and everything. And yet we see the massive number of black women employed in civil service positions by the federal government, oftentimes just to get them off the welfare rolls. Black women do have a voice. They're not this discriminated group in America that no one will listen to. They actually have a lot of clout. They have a lot of power. They are very vocal, and people listen to them. So they just don't want any white women talking. They don't want any white women talking about their heritage. They don't want white women talking about love of family. And they don't want any white women to recognize what is happening, to recognize that there is reverse discrimination in this country, and to recognize that there is a war and an assault upon white people. White women are in a precarious position many times because the media wants to imply that all white women are feminist. In the reality, the National Organization for Women, which is given the platform by the national media to speak on behalf of all women, they actually have a lower membership than the Christian women's group, Concerned Women for America. Now, Concerned Women for America, they're not a racialist group. They would probably come out and oppose many of the comments that I make here. They would not say anything in support of white racial identity. But I guess you could call them from conservative from the standpoint of being for traditional marriage and against abortion and against homosexuality and things like that. They have a much larger membership. They speak to women all across the country, women who have a conservative and moral background, and yet the national media virtually ignores everything they have said, ignore their press releases, ignore the news that they put out, and ignore the women speakers for Concerned Women for America. The national media wants our white brothers to think that all white women are feminist. They want to create a divide in our race between white men and white women. And they do this, number one, by portraying all white nationalist men or white Christian men as somehow being brutish, as being along the mindset of a caveman, of being my men who don't want to listen to women's opinions, who don't want women to have a fair shake in life, who don't want women to be able to succeed or pursue any activities outside of the home. They only want them to sit and bear children and cook and do their laundry. Well, most conservative women, they don't mind taking care of children. They love their children. They love their families. They enjoy their role of being a wife and mother. Smart white women understand that we have a complementary role to men. They understand that white men are not the oppressive brutes that they are made out to be. But on the same token, the national media, they want to project this image of white men, and especially white nationalist men. They want to project this image to women in the hopes that they can create a divide. And then likewise, they project the image to white men that all white women are somehow sleeping around with non-whites. They're all feminist, and they all want to oppress men and create some sort of feminist utopia. It really is, both of these extremes are a part of the agenda of cultural Marxist. Cultural Marxism was a outcome of the Frankfurt School, started in Frankfurt, Germany, prior to World War II, when the German nationalist government came into power. They kicked the Frankfurt School leadership out of Germany. Those men and women, mostly of Jewish heritage, then came and set up house at Columbia University, in which they then began promoting their agenda throughout the college system in America. Because the traditional Marxists plot to push the worker against the employer, a workplace divide that they attempted to create among our people with the workers against the bosses and so forth, they discovered that this did not work because there was a deeper affection between the employers or the workers and the bosses, and that deeper affection was based upon race. They had a very difficult time getting white people to fight against each other based only on economics. So they decided that they would find new victims. Women would become a victim. Homosexuals would become a victim. Minorities would become a victim. And so this whole victim mentality was then promoted throughout the collegiate system in the United States, with women's studies propping up, minority studies popping up in your universities, studies on sexual identity, gender identity, reclassification of the genders, this idea that sex is a racial or is a social construct, that race is a social construct and has no biological basis. And so creating this victim mentality among women, among homosexuals, and among minorities was an attempt to group these three segments of the population together. And so you had these three groups of victims: women, homosexuals, and minorities. And then in order to find the oppressor or the perpetrator of this victimhood, it was going to be the white male. The white male was viewed as the oppressor, viewed as the one that women, minorities, and homosexuals had to fight against. And it's not working. Now, it has worked to a certain point, but it's really becoming kind of passé. Women are smarter than that. Women, they do not want to fight with their white brothers. They do not want to lose their homes and their families and their children. Women who have spent their entire lives only pursuing a career to find out later that they're barren and they can't have children. They've passed up their childbearing years. Women have seen that while in the magazines and in the media, the possibility that a woman can have it all, she can break the glass ceiling, she can have a fabulous career, she can have all the children and a wonderfully romantic, happy marriage, that really is not accessible to most women. And most women, for the most part, they don't care about having all of those things or having the big career at the expense of having a family and a good nurturing environment for their children. Like I said, men and women are in a complementary position by design and by nature. And it's important for men and women to be able to work together, especially in light of the fact that we are facing white genocide. So I hope through my show, I hope through my comments and my writings and so forth, that women will begin to understand that they need to be careful. They need to be on guard for propaganda that is directed toward them. They need to be on guard for the very, even the benign seeming comments out there and magazine articles and websites that attempt to place all men in one category. You know, women don't like to be categorized. We don't like to have people put us all into one lump and to assume that all women are feminists. And likewise, men don't want women to assume that they are all this certain way, that they all want to hold women back. I'm not saying there's not a few men out there that are like that and that are kind of archaic and slightly demeaning to women, but for the most part, and I've been involved in this cause and struggle for over 30 years as an activist, have met many fine, very fine white nationalist men throughout the country, from the East Coast to the West Coast, North to the South, very fine, dedicated white men who love our women folk, who love our families, who love our civilization, and who want nothing more than to create a stable society for women and children and for the promotion of the white family. And white women out there, if any men are listening, I've found that white women, for the most part, they don't want the drudgery of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go working a factory job. Not every woman out there that works is doing so because she's going to have some, you know, six-figure income and she's intent on breaking the glass ceiling. For most part, women want to have a simple life. They want to be loved. They want to be respected. They want economic stability. They want a home that they can nurture their children. They want a husband that respects them, takes care of them, doesn't look down on them. And that's the vast majority of women, white women out there in America today. So guys and gals, you know, just remember when you see these subtle pieces of propaganda directed towards you, in the case of women, or in the case of men, directed towards you, remember that these are propaganda methods meant to instill discord and disharmony among white men and white women. Just take it with a grain of salt. put your anger beside you, put it behind you, and move forward. Have positive ideas, and just remember that we are facing white genocide, and now more than ever, we need to work together. I've always cautioned men that don't be too hard on the ladies. Don't buy into this idea that all women are out there sleeping around with non-whites and they're all feminists and they're all intent on this feminist utopia. They're not. They are not like that. So resist that. I like to say to women that the feminist ideology that is rampant in this country does need to be countered, but it's just one aspect, one spoke of the wheel of cultural Marxism. And white women need to take account of feminism. They need to consider what it is doing to the fabric of our nation, to the fabric of our society, and to our homes. And white women, I think it's up to us to come out loud, to be outspoken, and to fight against this feminism that is attempting to usurp the authority of white men and white women. Because white men and white women are meant to work together to create a stable society for the raising of families. That's what our society is for. It is for the family. I'm not saying that individuals should not have rights, and I'm not against individual rights, but the cornerstone of Western Christian civilization is the family. And in order to have a good society so that healthy white families are nurtured and raised to adulthood, in order to carry on our people, we have to work together. And white women, we need to take account of the feminism in society, and we need to be more outspoken and boldly speak against it, so that every time some feminist tirade comes across the web or comes across through the media, or if you see it in message boards somewhere, we need to be the first ones out there to boldly speak against it and to attack it, so that we can give more and additional evidence to our white brothers that we are solidly against feminism. And then white guys, listen up and take note. White women are not all feminists. We're not all against the family, and we're not against you. We want to work together. Well, that is all the time I've got today. Listen next week. I want to remind you, if you have any comments or questions about any of these news articles, about any of my comments, about any of my beliefs, if you have any questions about women's history or about women who have been involved in the struggle, about the battle of the sexes, or about white genocide, if you have any questions about any of things, send me an email. You can email me at whitepride radio@gmail.com. That's whitepride radio@gmail.com. Just make it attention to Rachel, and that will get sent straight to me. And I'd be happy to read any of your questions on the air and answer those questions for you. All right. So remember, until next week, remember that you are called to be a person of purpose. You're called to be a woman of courage. You're called to be bold and courageous, to fight for your race and to fight for your faith and your nation. Don't let anyone tell you that you don't have the right to fight for our people and to fight against white genocide. It is your right to do so. It is not the feminist job to speak for women. It is our job to speak for ourselves. So do it boldly, do it courageously, and remember to keep your head up, never keep your head down, and keep moving forward and working for national revival for our people. God bless. I want to thank you for listening to this edition of The White Women's Perspective. I want to remind you that it is not only your right, but it is your duty to stand courageously and boldly for white Christian revival, to stand for our race, and to stand up and say no to white genocide. If you have comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email me at Rachel May, that's RACHELMAY@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless.